Is this Call of Duty?
It is.
I would have no idea, except that I know that's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Before we talk about this lawsuit, assuming that not everybody is familiar with this game or mm-hmm. how violent it is, let's explain to people the basics of Call of Duty.
Call of Duty is just a, I mean, I haven't played it that much. I'm assuming Quentin is probably would be more informed on this than me. It's just a war simulator. You're just dropped into action and you go around shooting bad guys. And a lot of people play it online against other groups of people. You squad up, like you and your friends get on a team, right? And then go and fight other people, right?
Yeah, so there's two different versions of it. It's the Call of Duty, which is the one that we'll talk about here, and then there's Black Ops, which is like the, it's like, you know, Walmart and Target type deal, you know. Mm-hmm. They're the same thing, it's just two different companies.
Okay.
I mean, it's a first person shooter game, so it's exactly what it sounds like. It's you and you're playing the character, and each one has their own campaign. Some of them take place in different eras. They take place in the future, modern warfare, or there's some from World War II. So I mean, it's kind of all over the place. They've been coming out since like 2008.
Okay, so
yeah, Medal of Honor was before that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so here's the thing about video games when it comes to kids and violence is that study after study after study that's been done for the last 20 years has said violent video games do not lead to violence in kids.
Right.
I know that doesn't make sense to a lot of us because you think kids are going to model the behavior that they see in video games, but the science shows that just doesn't play out. People who don't want to blame guns for kids being violent or for school shootings,
Or who can't,
often will go to video games and say, well, it's the video games that they're watching. And now we have yet another court ruling about it.
So families of the 2022, and this is what makes this tough. It's because mm-hmm. it's the families of the 2022 Uvalde shooting tragedy. We all remember where we were and yeah. what that was. Have sued Activision, Call of Duty, and Meta, Instagram, claiming that they marketed real-world weapons like the AR-style rifle used in that shooting to minors, contributing to the shooter, the Uvalde shooter, who I'm glad, actually, that this has happened. I don't remember his name. I'm not going to remember his name.
I'm not looking it up.
I think it's worth that. That's good. That
yeah,
we that,
that's
and I,
the point.
And if you ask me who the shooter in Sandy Hook was, I don't remember. And that's good. They're
there
lost.
Are a couple that I remember. I don't know why, but this is not one of them.
Anyway, so. Contributing to the shooter's obsession, Activision's lawyers bluntly stated the First Amendment bars their claims, period, full stop, arguing that gameplay content is protected artistic expression. Plaintiffs counter that the game crossed into marketing, citing internal notes showing unbranded but identifiable weapon models aimed at teens. So their argument isn't necessarily that video games cause violence. It's that the video games made the guns that he used attractive, and that's what. But here's the problem with that. Fine, they made the guns attractive,
right?
But just because you buy a gun doesn't mean you're going to go shoot up a school. I'd argue the vast majority of people who buy a gun aren't planning on going and killing a bunch of children with it.
And another thing that the courts have said repeatedly is that aside from, you know, whether you think that what your kids are watching or what kids are watching in video games or whatever, or movies for that matter, despite what you think, there may be a connection. Courts have said you can't hold the creators of any of those artistic works legally liable for what the audience does in response to what they see. That's just too big of a leap to make. You just can't. You might think there's a connection, and maybe there is, but it's too complicated. And frankly, if you were to hold the creators of movies and video games liable for what their audience does in response, we'd have no movies.
Yep.
Nobody'd want to get into that business at all.
It's an interesting topic, is the disconnect that a lot of people don't appreciate when it comes to either playing video games or watching horrible movies or watching violent movies. Is just, you can enjoy something that you would never ever do yourself, that you can enjoy watching something happen and not ever want to be in that scenario and appreciate the fact that you're just watching it happen, or maybe that it's just a video game or whatever.
And even kids have that ability,
right?
Which is what I think is interesting, that even kids have the ability to watch things that are violent and not want to repeat that behavior.
As far as this is concerned, I mean, the best argument I've ever used as far as violence in video games is concerned is, what video game did Hitler play? How about Genghis Khan? Was he a big Call of Duty player?
Yeah.
You don't need violence, or you don't need video games for violence to occur. And the idea that it just happened because this kid played video games. The kid, I don't remember how old he was. He's a 17-year-old, I think, in Uvalde, right? Or was he or just over 21?
I cannot remember.
Again, it's not worth remembering.
Yeah.
But whether it was a 17-year-old or a 21-year-old, he was a young man. They play video games.
So here's my question for the audience is, especially parents. Again, we could point to you study after study after study that shows this consistent thing. Mm-hmm. Do you let your kids watch violent movies or TV shows or listen to music that has violent lyrics in it or whatever? What's your line for any of that? Is it the age? Is it the content? Do you let them play Call of Duty? Do you worry about this at all? Despite what the studies have said, is that enough for you? Or do you still just let them play or watch all the stuff? 913-586-7798.
Speaking for myself as a parent, I don't really have a line on what my kids watch so long as it doesn't annoy me. If it annoys me, then I'm like, turn it off.
Okay.
If I hear Finn watching something like some YouTube video and I hear the guy cussing, I'm like, turn that off.
Yeah.
Turn that off now. Cause I just don't want you watching that. Whatever. I've never had an issue with Henry when it comes to watching violent movies. We've watched violent stuff together. I don't think I know him. It doesn't affect him. I wouldn't watch it with Finn cause Finn's more sensitive. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's my line. How much is it going to affect them? Finn is going to have nightmares if we watch certain movies together. Mm-hmm. So we don't watch those movies. With Henry, it's never been a problem.
Yeah, I'm not worried about being influenced by anything violent, obviously, in my own behavior, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like the sound of guns shooting. My stepdad was really big into old Western movies that just had a lot of shooting in them. And I remember that sound just making the hair on my arm stand up. I just hate it. I don't like violent content. I don't worry about my repeating the behavior. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
So I don't seek that out.
I'm like this with horror movies. I don't
care about horror movies.
I don't like them.
Yeah, I don't either.
They bother me. And for a while, I had a problem where if somebody told me that they are a big fan of Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street, I would think less of them. Like I would actually think like, well, you're a terrible person because those movies are all about teenagers being carved up and tortured and murdered in incredibly disgusting, brutal ways. And I had to really think about it for a while, though. It's like, okay, is that any different than, I don't know, if I enjoy a comedy where somebody poops their pants or something like that, or I think that's fun. Does that mean I enjoy pooping my pants?
No. It's what you find entertaining. Like
people think the scene in Bridesmaids where they're all going in the kitchen and relieving themselves is so hilarious. That doesn't mean they want to do it.
Right.
It just means they can find it funny. So it's this weird disconnect that we as human beings have where you can appreciate something happening, but not think that it's cool or not think, oh my God, I wish that was happening to me or wish I could be the person doing that.
You also can. I worry when we talk about kids a little bit because I know the science plays it out. There are just some things that I think just because the science says we don't have to worry about them repeating the behavior they see doesn't mean it's appropriate for them to watch or do. You know, doesn't mean I want them exposed to it. Which is kind of vague. If I had kids, I don't know that I'd be letting them, you know, I might be a little more conservative about the line that, because they can always watch all that stuff later. There's plenty of time later for them to watch it.
Go ahead.
I was just going to speak to my existence as somebody who grew up literally playing these games when they came out on the PlayStation 2. My parents were pretty okay with that. The thing that they were very like against was like sexual content. They were like, you know, that's where they drew the line.
Yeah.
But like when it came to violence and stuff, you know, they were pretty much okay with it. Now on the PlayStation 2, you know, the graphics weren't great. So there's only so much you can show.
You know what? The sad reasoning for why parents, and I've seen this in studies and it's true. The reason parents are more triggered by sexual content and stuff than they are by violence. One sentence. Kids understand violence. kids understand violence. They are
violent. They don't understand sexual material.
They don't understand sexual material. They don't understand what are these two people doing? Because they don't.
Well, parents don't want to talk to them about
right.
it.
Right. And parents
that's
don't want to
have
to. That is the number one reason.
So that's it.
Kids understand violence. You don't have to explain why did Batman punch that guy through a window. You do have to explain what are they doing with their bottom parts of their body?
So
why did she have that in her mouth? Yeah.
Parents not being able to talk to their kids.
Parents not wanting to have to explain stuff to their kids. It's, honestly, is what it is.
Lovely.
From the text line, 0123 says, my son started watching scary movies at age 4. He also plays Call of Duty, starting at age 6. He has been strategically planning and building ships since age 3. He's the sweetest, chillest kid ever. He is now a police officer and also can be an EMT and firefighter. He passed all those tests, too, if he wanted to. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm incredibly lenient with both of my kids when it comes to what media that they appreciate, because at the end of the day, I don't think that it has nearly as much of an effect on them as you think. And on top of that, we live in a world where these kids are going to watch what they want to watch anyway. So I'm not saying you should encourage it.
Yeah.
But it's if either one of my sons wanted to watch The Simpsons, and I was like, nope, I hate that show. They curse. It shows Bart Simpson doing bad stuff. Wouldn't matter. They would find a way to watch it.
Yeah, but again, I come back to just because they are going to, doesn't mean they will, and doesn't mean that it shouldn't be made a little harder for them to watch it. I'm more sensitive about language sometimes, and I know that's not ever, I know you're not like that, but I am. I just don't. My ear catches language sometimes. I'm like, wow, I don't want to hear that. And I don't want, one of my friend's kids was in the car the other day with me, and we were scrolling through some songs, and it was one that I wasn't familiar with, and I heard a word, and I was like, oh my gosh, and yeah. I just immediately changed it. I'm like, and I think it depends on age of the kid also. You don't want 8 or 9 year olds hearing certain words. Like, it's fine for them to hear, but you don't want it repeating it to their little friends, and them repeating it to their parents who might have different values about it than you do. Yeah, just because they're going to get a hold of it, I don't want to make it easier.
I actually agree 100% with this one on the text line. 0300 says, I'm in agreement with you. I'm more worried about and have become acutely aware of the vile talk between players veiled as fun trash talk. The misogyny and racist things said on some of these platforms is outrageous. This can truly affect the child's interactions with others and worldviews. If you've ever listened in, it's disturbing. I agree with that. I would be much more horrified if I heard my kid having an exchange with somebody where they're using racist terminology or misogynistic terminology than I would with him just playing a violent video game.
So it's interesting what you just pointed out. To me, there's a difference between a kid hearing racist language. He might not know what it means. Depending on the age, they might not know the context for it.
As an adult, I've heard racist terms. I'm like, what? What was that?
But there, so a kid hearing racist language to me doesn't alarm me as much as what you just said, which is the kid engaging in having an exchange that has racist language.
Right.
Because hopefully they know what it means if they're saying it, but they might not. But it shows they're willing to repeat it.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's
more concerning.
Where they're in a group chat and somebody's talking like that versus if you're watching a movie where it's a controlled environment. If we're watching Black Klansman or something where or Django Unchained, where it's obviously these are the bad guys. These are the racists. These are the ones saying those words versus your friend saying them while you're playing Call of Duty or Grand Theft Auto or
I worry about what they're hearing at home, too, with some of that stuff.
Yeah. Those 2012 gamer chats were just built different. As I can tell you that is absolutely much worse. That's why there was a mute mic function. Man, those. Whew.
There's no policing it at all. Maybe they've tried to do a better job of it.
Yeah, there are certain you can't type things. Like text boxes will get censored now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that technology didn't exist in 2012, so it was just free reign.
From the text line, I'm a military vet, and I can honestly say that playing video games has helped me with my PTSD. Violent, non-violent. My favorite game is Minecraft. Okay, there you go.
Shout out to that guy.
There you go. Yeah, that's another thing. It's like, if video games have such an effect on kids. Yeah, my kid's outside punching a tree right now.
He wants to be in the coal mines.
He's digging a hole 58 blocks down.
To that texter, I would also say you're an adult. And that's different than I mean, I assume you weren't in the military when you were a kid. So I assume that that's, you know, and that's a choice that you can make for yourself as an adult. So that's good. This is, yeah.
All right. Coming up. What are the biggest differences that couples have in common? They say opposites attract. What are the most opposite things that couples who, you know, like each other actually have in common? Talk about that next on Midday.
All right, we have some breaking news to get to out of the entertainment world, sadly. Ozzy Osbourne has died at the age of 76. It came just 3 weeks after he did his big farewell concert with fans. That was, Metallica, Guns N' Roses, all of his favorite acts that he did this final bow.
Yeah.
So, and he had had health problems for years.
In a statement, his family said it's with more sadness than mere words can convey that we have to report that our beloved Ozzy Osbourne has passed away this morning. He was with his family and surrounded by love.
Parkinson's had a major fall in 2019, bunch of other health problems.
Yeah. But I mean, whether you liked him or not, or whether you were a fan of his or not, I should say, absolute pioneer mm-hmm. when it came to music. Black Sabbath is, I don't care what band you like. If you like a band from the 90s, chances are they like Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely sad. Only weeks after his farewell show a couple weeks ago. And it begs the question, like, was he just holding on to do that show? And then how often do we see that with people?
Yeah. Where,
it might be just they want to see Paris before they die live to be 100. Because we talked about that when we talked about the actuary tables mm-hmm. with Social Security, that there's a huge drop off in life at exactly 100.
Yeah. The only example I'm trying to think of examples like of musicians or entertainers. And if anybody can think of that where they had their farewell concert and then passed after that. But my dad's dad lived until 83 and he had had heart trouble for a lot of years. And like, it was one of those things where like, you just kind of know, you know, that he's not doing well. And he was born in Southern Wisconsin and we did a family reunion and it was the first time he'd seen his sisters in like 10 years. Mm. And he went up to that reunion the night before the rest of us. And he saw his sisters for the last time and then died that night in his sleep before everybody got there. Sometimes people know. Like you just think sometimes
they're just
people
waiting
know.
For somebody to get there. Yeah. So then if you're morbid, but I've thought about that. If you were the person that they were waiting on, do you feel guilty about then showing up?
No, because you got to see them before they,
I mean, you shouldn't feel guilty. That's just me. Cause I've experienced that. And I'm like, oh
yeah.
Like maybe I should just stay home.
Yeah. But there is, if you believe in whatever you believe in, that that somehow the universe kind of knows somehow.
David Bowie died 2 days before, or his album, his Black Star album, his last album dropped 2 days before he died.
Okay.
So he was a lot, and that album was all about his cancer, and he had a song called Lazarus on there. So that's an example. You were asking for examples of people who like held on. Chadwick Boseman.
Oh yeah.
Did that. He was the Black Panther. He played roles where he was dying, but he waited. I think it was the Mulroney's Black Bottom or something like that. He was in a movie that just came out right before he died. Johnny Cash. I mean, the Hurt video and everything. He had that come out, and then that was, I think that's just a coincidence, though.
The funny thing about Ozzy Osbourne, or interesting thing about him, is that generationally, there are some people, and I might put myself in this category, who didn't necessarily listen to Black Sabbath or listen to his music or know who he was until MTV. Until he showed up on TV as this crazy,
I mean,
with Sharon Osbourne, you know,
it
didn't really know him as a musical artist until we saw him on TV. And I was like, who is this guy?
Do you think we'll have rock stars in the future?
Like, I don't want to talk about AI anymore, but I don't know.
Well, I don't think AI is going to replace them, but we just don't have the kind of cultural obsession, the ability to just focus on one person. Like if you like rock music now, you like a bunch of bands that most people have not heard of. Whereas everybody knew who Ozzy Osbourne was back in the 70s. Even if you didn't listen to his music, you still knew who he was.
I don't know that we're going to have rock stars, in part because I don't know that rock music is And radio, part of this has been radio, mm-hmm. because when we had radio stations, when we had more just radio stations, they were segmented into formats. And yep. that was kind of how we segmented music. I think we have more different styles of music now that are more hybrid than they used to be. I think we're going to have pop stars, though. I mean, we're going to have a Taylor's because young people are always going to listen to that kind of music. So we're going to have another Taylor Swift and yeah. another Beyonce.
I think so. But I feel like we're also, Taylor Swift has been huge for like 20 years, right? I mean, huge. It's the biggest pop star in the world. 20 years into it. Madonna only had like a 10-year reign. Mm-hmm. And she was huge, but it was only 10 years. I think that nobody's come. And I'm not saying this is because Taylor Swift is so great. I'm saying that I don't think that we're getting as many as we used to. I think
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we still have pop stars, but. You know, where are they coming from? Like the Charlie XCX's of the world, I guess. You know,
I mean, just
I don't know.
Like you could ask the same thing about movie stars.
Yeah.
You know, somebody said Tom Cruise is like the last great movie star that in terms of big blockbuster action movies.
So what's happening there, and it's probably the same thing happening with music. What's happening with movie stars is the movie studios are like, well, we don't need to hyper-focus on one star.
Yeah.
Because the movies that we're having put out that make a bunch of money are based on intellectual property.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having superheroes. And how many movies, if you go to the movies this weekend, you see trailers, it'll be for stuff that you've already known about.
Yeah.
That has already existed. And I'm not saying the movie itself, but like it'll be for some book or movie or a sequel or mm-hmm. reboot of some intellectual property that everybody already knows about. That's how they're getting people to go to the theaters. So then they don't have to worry about developing the next movie star. They just need to develop the next intellectual property.
I mean, think about Tom Cruise and when we first, I mean, Risky Business. What year was Risky? 83?
83,
84.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, so 40 years he's been making movies.
Who 83,
do,
nailed it.
Who do we have? Like, who's the next? Who? We don't even have, like, the next George Clooney, you know, because George Clooney is kind of in a different category a little bit.
As old as Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and different tracks. George Clooney picks his movies a little differently. But who is that coming up? Who's in their 30s right now that has that kind of star power now that will still be doing movies in 40 years?
I don't know.
I could not name you.
Timothée Chalamet.
Is it one of the Chris's? The
Chris
Hemsworth? Or one of the Chris's?
All in their 40s. You're right. I think there's a weird gap in their 30s. I don't know too many movie stars that are in the 30s.
Yeah. Who's in the movies right now in their 30s that shows that star power that you think they've got the range that they can do, you know, the rom-coms if it's necessary. They can do the action movies. They can do the historical stuff.
Yeah. From the text line, 2742 says, rock bands still exist and can still make music. I know. I'm not saying that they don't exist. I'm saying that they're not, that nobody knows about them. That they're on YouTube. And yeah, they might have 100,000 views for a video or even a million views for a video. That I'm not saying people aren't still making rock music. I'm saying there's not a fixation on it for a couple of reasons. One, there's no MTV. That was a mono. Like what MTV was in the 80s, and people don't understand, and this goes back to Ozzy Osbourne, is it was a monolith.
Yeah.
It was like everybody was watching it.
You anticipated the next music video from whoever it was going to be. That was a big deal.
They would have like premieres and stuff. I mean,
yeah, the
when
world
Michael
premiere
Jackson,
of the video.
When Michael Jackson would release a video, it was a huge deal.
Yes.
And then radio stations also used to be a lot more prominent.
You're
when
you're
going to
hear the next new track from the next new big single from whoever it is.
And now that you can listen to an infinite amount of bands, there's just too much noise and everything gets drowned out. I think in order to have that culture again, and I'm not saying it's necessarily better or worse, but in order to have that culture where you have a rock star like Ozzy Osbourne, you have to have gatekeeping where there have to be people who decide, no, we're playing that video. We're playing that song. Cause if you can just, anybody can upload stuff to Spotify and anybody can listen to it. There's no gatekeeping and anybody could be famous. And so nobody is.
Right. And to your point, I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't. Maybe it's good because it means that more people have a chance. More talent has a chance at being exposed to an audience. And as consumers, we have a better chance of finding things we like.
Right.
But it might be harder to find because we don't have, nobody's making those decisions for us.
Right. And I think maybe it was better off when they were. Anyway,
it was easier.
It was easier. Yeah,
it was definitely easier.
I'm just saying, as working in an industry that has suffered significantly because of streaming, I would say it was better. John Grayson just texted me to let me know that Ozzy Osbourne died.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John. Yeah, Ozzy Osbourne.
20 minutes behind.
It takes a while for that text message to travel that far.
Yes. Anyway, very, very sad news, though. Ozzy Osbourne died just weeks after his farewell show. He'd been suffering from various illnesses, but a sad day for music. We'll talk some more on Midday.
Welcome in. Phone number here to reach us, 913-586-7798. Okay, getting to the story that we mentioned earlier in the show, out of the Sun. They asked people out of the UK about this, but I think this is good for us too. The differences between you and your partner, what do you manage? What are you okay with?
What differences, what yin makes your yang?
Yeah.
Right? So they have a list of these. I'll start with number 5. One is always talking about their feelings. The other one keeps things bottled up.
Okay, so that's something that works? Mm-hmm. Or is that annoying to the other one?
It's not saying it's annoying. It's just, what are the major differences between you and your partner?
Okay.
So people were asked that, and these are people who are in committed relationships. So one loves talking about the feelings. The other one keeps things bottled up. That is definitely me and my wife.
You are, let me guess, you are the...
I'm the talker.
Talker, yeah, of everything.
She keeps things bottled up.
Yes.
Well, she thinks she keeps things bottled up. They come out in different ways. But I think some of this is necessary, because if both of us were constantly going on about our feelings, we'd probably be yelling at each other. And instead, she just kind of keeps things inside, and I'm like, okay. And then I yell about my day, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll go through some of these. And like, what do you think are the hardest ones to overcome? So one was when one of you is a Christmas lover and the other one is a Grinch.
I think that would actually be pretty tough to overcome, because you would think that I'm not getting any presents from you.
Yeah, I just don't.
And why should I get you anything when you hate Christmas?
I don't hate Christmas. I just don't care a lot about it. If I had kids, it'd probably be different, but I just don't care. Yeah. It's just not my... But if I was dating somebody who really cared about it, I could get into it.
I like Christmas. My thing is, I like any excuse to throw, like to have fun, to like, I don't care if it's a mandatory celebration. I think that human beings need excuses to get together and have fun. And what I like about Christmas, or just that the idea of a winter holiday and festival, is the darkest time of the year. Mm-hmm. And we take lights and put them on our houses, and we play goofy music that some of us hate and some of us like. I think that there's something special about that, that's just uniquely human.
Quentin and I are communicating about the Christmas music.
Oh, yeah. We're just looking through the glass. Jamie has the correct opinion here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you ever spent Christmas in a warm climate?
In Florida.
Okay, so you have, yes. Yeah. I spent it in Australia 1 year. Mm-hmm. It was the weirdest thing to be in the Southern Hemisphere, where it's the middle of summer, on Christmas. And they still celebrate it the same way. I mean, of course they do, but it was weird to be on the beach on Christmas.
It wasn't that warm, because we lived in Central Florida, but it was like 50 or 60 degrees. What was weird about it was the ramp up to Christmas. Mm-hmm. People had stuff on their houses, but there was no snow to make the lights look special.
Yeah.
And it also just, it's offset between the lights and palm trees. Mm-hmm. One's an early bird. The other one's a night owl, according to this. Like things that you can't get together on.
I feel like that can be problematic. And I've been in the situation a lot, because I've worked mornings half of my life.
Yep.
It's a problem, because an alarm is going off and you don't want that to wake the other person, but you can't help it. One has to go to bed earlier.
There's two perspectives on that, though, because I've experienced from both sides, where I'm not a morning bird, but when I worked mornings, it was frustrating because I would be trying to sleep and Katie would need to be able to see when she came into the room, and you know, she would turn a light on and wake me up. The other perspective, though, is if you get up at the same time, if you have that in common, who's using the bathroom? Who's taking a shower first? Who's getting in the closet?
Well, I feel like guys take 15 minutes. I don't feel like that's a big deal.
It's a big deal for us.
A lot of bathrooms have two sinks. So one could be in the shower and the other one's getting ready, at least.
Mm-hmm. People like their privacy.
So,
but especially if you close the door because one's taking the shower. One plans everything weeks in advance. The other one makes it up as they go.
I don't think that's that big of a deal.
That's mean, Katie.
Usually the person that, it's usually harder for the person that is the planner when the other person is go with the flow because they need the plans.
I like the idea of making plans, but I get so upset when they don't come to fruition that I'm better off not making plans.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Because they never work out.
You don't want to be disappointed.
Like you make plans, and then as soon as everything falls apart, then instead of just being happy to be, you know, spending time with each other, all you're thinking about is, oh man, we were supposed to go to that dinner, but our reservation got canceled, or it was too crowded, or whatever. Whereas if you just kind of make it up as you go, then you're never disappointed.
Okay. There's another one on here about a difference in tidiness. One of you being messy and the other one being clean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's hard because the one that's clean is always picking up after the other one.
Yeah, unless they don't. I don't know. I don't know. Yes, I would think it would bother my wife a lot more.
But
for some reason, it doesn't seem to affect her.
Yes.
I don't know why. I honestly don't. I have no idea why my slovenliness doesn't bother her more. It should.
But does it bother her when the kids are messy?
Yes.
But not you?
Not me.
That's funny. Okay.
Guess who she loves more?
Yeah.
Number two, one likes to save money, the other likes to spend it. That seems like that would be the biggest problem.
That's a deal breaker. That's one of the biggest reasons couples get divorced.
Katie and I are both very frugal, so that's not an issue.
Yeah, it's also an issue if one person doesn't, not just like save versus spend, but if one person doesn't know how to manage money and doesn't, you don't have the same priorities for money, that's a problem.
And finally, one's always cold, the other's always hot, is the number one thing the couple said they don't have in common. So the way you manage that is it's usually a bedroom issue because it's hard to sleep if it's too hot. It's hard to sleep if it's too cold. I have a bed jet, which is just an air conditioner that runs underneath the covers of my bed. Or you can get like a heated mattress part.
Yeah. You want. I've had cooling blankets before.
Cooling blanket, whatever you need, whatever. Cause Katie doesn't like it too warm. Katie doesn't like it too cold. I don't like it too hot. So it's tough getting the right temperature.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of in a dating history, the biggest differences I've had been with people that were hard to manage. And we don't need to get into this, but one time I dated someone whose political views were completely the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm surprised that wasn't on there, by the way.
It wasn't on there.
Yeah.
And that was manageable at first until you have your first big fight about it.
And then it all comes out.
And then it's a problem.
Well, that's just because you're a liberal.
Yeah. Like when you're done being nice and you start to see the true colors of somebody else. The other thing I've struggled with sometimes is because I'm a really adventurous eater. And so I like to cook and I like to try new restaurants and it makes me want to like have a lot of adventures in the world. I can't date somebody who's not like who doesn't come my way. At least if you're a really picky eater,
that can be,
and you don't enjoy food, that's going to be an issue.
Annoying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a picky eater, but I can find something. So, and I also recognize that about myself. Mm-hmm. So like when I was in Boston, if we had people visiting and they wanted to go to a seafood restaurant, I would go.
Yeah.
I hate seafood, but I would be like, oh, that's fine. I'll just have fish and chips or fried shrimp or something where they've just boiled the fish taste out of it. If you want fish, that's absolutely fine. I don't care. Like, I'll just go anywhere and figure it out. One person's a dog person. The other person's a cat person.
It can be a problem if one person really doesn't like the other animal.
Or is allergic.
Like, correct. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Especially, or when you start dating, you come into the relationship with one of those pets.
All right, 913-586-7798. If you want to call in, talk about your differences or how you overcome those, and do your differences make your sames better? Does that make sense?
Yeah, and are there any deal breakers? Are there any differences where you're like, I thought I can't bridge that gap?
Yeah, 913-586-7798. Your calls and texts coming up on midday.
Talk about the differences in couples and how you figure it all out.
It's weird. I think that people, so long as the differences are skin deep and then the sames go right to the bone, I think that's what matters the most. Because if you're just like, I don't know, if you're a little bit slobby and she's not, or if you like cats and she likes dogs or whatever, but then when it's like, we disagree on politics,
yeah,
that or religion. People said biggest, like somebody on the text line said religious differences. That's when it can be really tricky.
Those are values. I feel like yeah. that's different yes. than just having some differences. When you talk about like whether you want kids or not, or yeah, the political differences, or and even some of the money management. I mean, those are some of the biggest reasons that people get divorced. Those are yeah. those are things about yourself that you're not going to change.
And it's not like, if I don't put my dish in the sink, that Katie's gonna be like, he's right. a bad person because he didn't put his dish. She's like, that idiot can't pick up after himself, but she's not gonna be like, ah. Cassie from Raytown says he's a hardcore planner. I'm chaos in yoga pants. We compromise. He plans the trips. I make it fun once we get there.
Okay.
It's like living with Google Calendar. If Google Calendar also sighed and frowned at me all the time, she said. James in Olathe says she's a vegan. I love meat so much that I proposed to her over ribs.
Okay.
That's where I could see it being a problem. That's where I could see it. Because so long as you're a vegan and you're like, this is a health thing, or I'm going to get you to come to my side. And so long as you don't think that just because somebody who eats meat is an evil person.
Yeah. It's a matter of like coexisting and respecting the differences.
Yeah.
Instead of making it as difficult as humanly possible. And just kind of knowing like, okay, we don't have to be exactly the same.
Tiff in Overland Park says, I'm obsessed with horror movies. He's so jumpy that Finding Nemo gave him anxiety.
Okay, so you don't watch movies together.
Yeah, that's not that big of a deal.
That's fine.
That's not a big deal.
That's fine.
Yeah,
that's overcomable.
So far, I haven't seen one that's big of a deal. Let's go to Steve in Olathe. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
We're both completely in love, have been for 35 years.
Congratulations.
But we're so counter opposite in everything. I'm not kidding. She hates coffee. I love coffee. I'm very extroverted. She's as introverted as she can get. I like Halloween. She abhors Halloween. She hates horror movies. I don't necessarily love horror movies, but I can't even get her to watch science fiction. She's a Little House on a Prairie MASH person.
Yeah.
We're just so opposite in so much. But I also take it with a grain of salt because her intellect is off the chart. She's in the medical field. Mm-hmm. I let her make the decisions.
Yeah. Like it's about the big things,
thanks
right?
For your call, Steve. Yeah.
It's the big stuff.
So long as the differences maybe make your sames better. Like Katie and I are very different when it comes to our taste in food and even like our approach with the kids. She's a little bit more of a disciplinarian, and
that's very common.
I'm an agent of chaos, so I get that.
Of you needs to be a little more lax,
right.
And one of
but
you
that
needs
makes it better.
Yeah,
that makes it. But we both absolutely love our kids, and that makes it just a lot better because she knows that I can lighten things up. And I know that if someone needs to put the boot down, that she's there.
As long as you have each other, especially with the kids, is like you can have different ways of approaching it, but you got to have each other's back.
Yeah.
Can't have one go into the other one and then one, we'll let them do whatever they want.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. All right.
All right.
There you go.
That makes it
work. That's the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Dan and Parks will be up next. I just want to say real quick at the end of the show, RIP Ozzy Osbourne, absolute legend. Very sad to hear that news today. All right. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Bye.